Big, big fan of anytime anybody's making fun of the Cowboys. This is making the rounds now. Playoff wins at AT&T Stadium since 2015. Packers, 2. Spain, who just won today over France to go to the World Cup title game, also has 2 playoff wins at AT&T Stadium. Cowboys have 1 since 2015. That's nice. Anytime we can insult the Cowboys in the offseason and they can catch some strays, I'm down. I think we all could be a fan of that. 3-0, the AL over the NL in the bottom of the second here. C.J. Abrams struck out a minute ago when he was up to the plate. Talked to Chris Miles earlier, and, you know, listen, A.J. DeBonta and Trey Johnson and Will Riley done for summer league. It's probably the right choice. They've played great. Will Riley and Trey Johnson look like they're going to take a big step in year 2. A.J. DeBonta looks obviously ready to go. He's the number 1 overall pick. That's going to be the case. I did have to give him a little crap, though, because, you know, hey, decided to just show up late and completely ignore me because he's too busy, I don't know, scouting kids that are 16 years old, because that's what he does. Here's Chris Miles. Chris Miles jumps on with me now. Sir, I was expecting to talk to you a lot earlier than this. I am upset. We were going to talk about bigs in the NBA and the evolution of it and summer league and all these things. And you kind of let me down a little bit. I need a reason right now, Chris Miles. We're supposed to be better than this.
Well, actually, I'm doing all my research on the next class of, you know, up-and-coming NBA superstars for Peach Jam this week, and I'm knee-deep in papers and like, all right, Matt Barnes' kids, they're twins? They're only 5'11"? That can't be right. Let me find out more about these kids, right? Like, that's exactly what I'm doing this moment. So I'm sorry I missed your call, my friend.
It's fine. Fair enough. And I'll tell you this. There is nobody that's more dialed into, like, the next crop of young players than you. Before we get to that, though, I do want to just look at, since we're not going to see any more A.J. DeBonta in summer league, also no Will Riley, Trey Johnson, two guys, obviously, that'll be ending in going into their second year. Look, we saw great summer leagues from those guys, and I always thought, like, there's a caveat, right? There's always like, well, it's summer league, but we saw two of them have really successful regular seasons. We know what A.J. DeBonta can certainly bring to the table. Just overall now, from what you saw from those three in summer league, what's your takeaway?
They didn't pull a Donnie Davis, right? They did exactly what you want to see.
That is a name I haven't heard in forever, by the way. Wow, I forgot about him.
Well, I just remember this. Right. I remember Johnny Davis being like a consensus. This is who the Wizards should take at 10. And then they take him. And then like 3 years later, he's like 1-for-7 in summer league. And you're like, your third year. You know who's the Johnny Davis of summer league now? Cody Williams for Utah. Right. Like, there's that one guy where you kind of feel bad for them, because really, once you have NBA strength, conditioning and the full season under your belt, you should come into summer league like, I don't belong here. I'm offended that you're making me play. Like, Trey Johnson and Will Riley look like, don't put me out here with them. Nah, you need to get me playing. Do not have me on the court with those guys. And I love to see that from my guy. You know, I've been a Trey Johnson guy since he was like 15 years old, right? Like, that's my guy. I'm so happy he went to the Wizards.
What do you think, Trey Johnson, since you brought him up, what do you think his... I mean, I know, again, it's only going to be year 2, but what is like a player comp for you that you could see being his ceiling?
His ceiling, I don't have the player that he's exactly,
Sure,
there's
sure.
Two types of ways his career could go. I think he could be a 25-point-per-game scorer, but the way the Wizards are constructed, that's not going to happen in the next 2 or 3 years. I really do think he's a leading scorer of a team, and now you got A.J. DeBonta, so I'm like, Trey Johnson in the immediate future, I could see him being sixth man of the year in his first 4 years. Right? Like, if you have Will Riley, A.J. DeBonta, Trey Young, I don't know if you start him. I think you bring him off the Keyshawn George. Like, I keep Bilal Coulibaly. Like, I kind of look at that group and I'm like, okay, if I'm trying to win and I'm telling this kid what your future is, hey, year 2, year 3, average 18 to 20 off the bench. And I think he can do that.
Wow.
Like, this year or next year.
I mean, yeah, look, a second unit for the Wizards of Bob Carrington, Trey Johnson, Bilal Coulibaly, and then, like, Chris Middleton and DeAndre Ayton. I mean, they got some solid depth now. Just looking at the Wizards offseason for you, I mean, we know the Trey Young deal. That's a lot. I'm not a fan of the deal, but, like, I understand playing devil's advocate why they did it. But when you look at what the Wizards have kind of turned into at this point now, the expectations are, Chris, right? Playoff team, people kind of expect that. I look at this team and think, like, that is a team that certainly should at least make some noise in the play-in tournament, but it's beyond just the starters they have. I think that second unit is a pretty strong second unit.
Oh, the kid gloves are off. Because it's graduation time for Will Riley, for Keyshawn George, especially Bilal Coulibaly. Hello. Look, if we get to November, December, and Coulibaly looks like he can't figure it out, or Keyshawn, or Will, you got to go, right? Mm-hmm. It's like time to show up and show out or move on. It's, once you pay Trae Young in excess of $200 million, and you're talking about, like, hey, we're going to – I mean, they said it. August is coming up. They're going to pay Anthony this, which I got to see that to believe it, right? But once you do that, now it's like, okay, our young guys are ready. That's what you're telling me you think of as an organization. And if you're not ready to contribute now, you know, it's time to move. I mean, A.J. DeBanza clearly is ready to contribute as a rookie. Yeah.
What do you think happens to Anthony Davis?
I thought once they got the number one pick, he was gone. Right? Like, I thought, oh, you got the number one pick. Whoever you get, Anthony Davis doesn't fit the time. Like, Trae Young is, what, 28? I think Trae Young's 28 now.
Yeah.
Anthony Davis on the other side of 30. Like, it doesn't fit to me. And like you said, oh, Ayton and Sarr. But look, here's the thing. Sarr's on crutches.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like, how serious is this? Like, is he going to be able to play at that level this season, right? Or is there a waiting game for him? Is this like kind of a redshirt season or an injury coming back from injury season? We see that with guys. So I'm like, oh, I get it. I see why the front office is like, no, we're going to pay Anthony Davis, so we're competitive this year. So I think Sarr's injury, for me, I look at it and I go, okay, if you're trying to win now, you can't play around, right? So you pay Anthony Davis and you go because you got so many young horses in the stable.
Talking to Chris Miles, Nick Ashew on the Fan. A.J. DeBanza, again, it's two games. You saw a lot of scoring. We kind of expected that. It's Summer League. When you watch what A.J. DeBanza gave us, again, I'm always going to put the caveat of it's Summer League. But what are the things? Because we know what he can do well. We saw it. We saw the scoring. We saw. What are the things that when you watch A.J. DeBanza, you say, that's got to get improved, that's got to get fixed, that's got to get better as his career goes forward?
You know, it's sort of the things that I saw with Caleb Wilson, and I'm like, oh, my God. Like, so I live up the street from where Caleb Wilson went to high school first, Holy Innocent.
Nice flex.
Right?
It's a good flex.
So, no, I'm saying I saw him, and I'm like, he is. No, and he's not. I was like, he's not it. And this kid keeps getting better and better and better. And in summer league, he comes out 7 threes.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, can he still do? Oh, second game, I'm dunking on you. You know, and he's like, they wouldn't let me do it. I think with AJ, I need to see, stop playing with the basketball. 3 dribbles or less. Like, that's where he needs to be coached up. This is no longer, hey, you're the best guy on the team. The other kids fall in line. No, you play with other talented players, and it's time for winning basketball. Sprint down the floor. Don't come to half court, jog halfway. You don't have the ball, so you stand there. Sprint all the way, get easy buckets, right? But I will say with AJ, having watched him over the years, like, the knock on him was the physicality. He did not do well with physicality. Now he's all physical. Mm-hmm. So he's also shown those signs of growth that I'm like, all right, if he continues to grow this way, then here's a guy that, okay, defensively, you didn't have it before. No one ever asked you to play defense. Now you got to play defense. And I like what he's saying. I like the mentality. I even like when he said, you know, he ran into Dwayne Wade, and Wade was like, yeah, Hall of Fame's good, but, you know, when the 100 at 100 comes around, like, you should be on that list. And that's like what he's saying his goals are. Well, you got to play defense to be there.
Darren Peterson plays defense, doesn't he?
and he's always gotten after it. He's always gotten after it. That, I mean, to me, that was a big difference between the two. Darren Peterson makes plays on defense. We saw, you know, a sample of it in summer league, and he's an efficient shooter, right? Like, people look at the percentages, I'm like, you're not watching a game, right? Like, you got to really watch. If there's daylight, he's dropping it. And he missed some jumpers. I think he had the same shooting splits similar to AJ, but they were different shots. Like, you know, you can see the difference in it and Darren Peterson's ability to shoot the three.
Talking to Chris Miles, you and I were texting earlier today. There was there's kind of this evolution of the big. I've always talked about the evolution of the big in the NBA is kind of like the evolution of the running back in the NFL. But it's a lot of like stretch bigs and unicorns. We talked a lot about that. But you actually pointed something out to me, I think, in terms of like another big that's kind of becoming more prominent in the NBA. What is that?
Yeah, so I sent you clips of Common Malawach, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the first time I called like the NBA Academy games, and like I think it was 2021 or 2022, and there was this 7-footer that was just out there nailing threes, and I'm like, he would be a freshman in high school. What am I seeing right now? It was Malawach, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I watched him with the NBA Global Academy. On three-point shooting, and I'm like, but he's defending around the basket, but offensively that has him away from the basket. And then we see that with Sinak that came out of got drafted by the Celtics. You see that with Victor Wembanyama. There's been this evolution that they're still teaching bigs to defend the rim, but they're perimeter offensively oriented, right? And you're seeing that like left and right. I mean, I would say Alex Saar, I thought he was one of those players too, but he ended up, you know, playing a little bit more around the basket for the Wizards. But man, if we continue to see Porzingis as like one of those guys that we saw a decade ago doing it, but I think that's a prototype now, and I don't know what we call them. They're not stretch fours or stretch fives. They have an offensive package of a small forward, but defensively, they play dominant like a five.
Should we call them like hybrid bigs or something? I feel like we need to come up with a name for this.
Like they're a club, right?
Yeah.
What you got in your bag? I got myself a hybrid big, the Malawach.
It's crazy, though, how much, I mean, yeah, the position has changed so much. And I'm watching highlights of some kid that's 7'7" that's playing like Victor Wembanyama. I don't remember his name off the top of my head. You might know who it is because you know all these kids. But, I mean, it's just like, it's amazing now what 7-footers can do is they just continue to grow and get better. Look, all right, besides the top four guys in this draft, who has impressed you the most this summer?
Oh, my man Malik Thomas.
Yeah.
I'm so confused. So, again, he's a guy that was playing right down the street from me in Atlanta at OTE. And I went to see someone else. I can't even remember the kid I went to go see, to be honest. And I'm like, who's this tough kid? And he got like a bloody nose. And I came out of it like, I've never really heard of him. And I started asking around. I'm like, this kid makes me think of Jimmy Butler. Mm-hmm. And then I see like the rankings. And he's ranked, you know, in the middle, like, you know, 30-something. He's not like ranked really high. And then he goes to Arkansas. I'm like, oh, he's big time. He's going to Arkansas. And he's playing with Acuff, and I watched two or three Arkansas games. I'm like, that kid's better for the NBA. Mm. And I'm like, all right, if I say that out loud, people are going to think I'm a crazy person because they think Acuff is like, you know, John Wall status good, which he's not. I want to get into that. But I kept saying that about Malik Thomas, and then certainly for the Cleveland Cavaliers, 30-30-20, the most points ever in first three summer league games by a rookie, ever. More than Damian Lillard, more than John Wall. The most, John Wall's fifth on that list, if you didn't know. So, I mean, he's just been incredible. Here's a guy that I don't understand how he's a second-round pick.
I feel like this draft is going to have multiple steals, right? There's always one guy that kind of falls in a draft anyway that ends up surprising people. Does that kind of feel like your number one guy at the top, or is there anybody else? Because I feel like this draft could have a bunch of them with all the talent we've had.
Well, and that's the reason this draft. Now, remember, Cooper Flagg was supposed to be in this draft.
Yeah.
So, when we say this was historic, this is where Cooper belongs. And look, he did the right thing, classing up, all that. Just like Marcus Spears just did it. He's going to Texas for 2 years. But when you look at history, if Cooper's in this class, and we go back when people say the LeBron class or 96 or 84,
mm-hmm.
from the time these kids were sophomores in high school, they belonged in that conversation. And that was, and like, the first time I heard a guy from Nike tell me that, I was like, you know what? You don't sound crazy. Like, this is accurate. Like, these kids, there's three or four of them that are exceptional at 14 and 15 years old, and you see them now. And then there's other kids, like Caleb Wilson, had the tools, but he developed into an absolute star.
It's one of those classes that's had the hype, and we've heard it for a while, and we knew it once every team decided they were just going to tank as much as they could, and we got the results certainly that we expected. All right, look, you know I've had this this belief. It's tinfoil on my head. Maybe it was for a while. Now it doesn't feel so much. I've always said LeBron finishes his career in Cleveland one last time, and Bronny goes with him. I'm hearing Bronny trade reports now, and I'm still hearing LeBron back to Cleveland. Where's he go?
Well, I can't give you my source, but 2 years ago, LeBron, on a call that I saw with thine own two eyes, was like, if I can't have a 25 in the NBA, I'm retiring. Well, he hasn't averaged 25 the last 2 years. So I'm saying to you, as someone who's been privy to LeBron James on a FaceTime with one of his buddies, I don't know, man. I feel like LeBron is going to wake up tomorrow, and I read all the reports, and I see, like, oh, teams aren't interested in LeBron, and LeBron's trying to make it happen. I'm like, you know, there are things I know, and that's one thing I don't know. But I do look at the basketball situation, and I'm like, Cleveland doesn't make sense. Miami makes sense. Mm-hmm. The whole story about Golden State makes sense. Like, there are other things that make way more basketball sense. I look at Cleveland, I'm like, Cleveland needs Malik Thomas. They need toughness. They need youth. They need athletic. Well, obviously LeBron's athletic, but they need defense, toughness, youth. Not another guy, you know, who's the oldest, right? I don't know. It seems like an awkward fit.
So the way I see it is this, Chris, I feel like Cleveland makes the most sense from like a story perspective, right? The bow on his career, tie it up and wrap it up and go on that retirement tour with Cleveland one last time. But from a basketball perspective, a team perspective, I feel like Golden State, Miami, and Philadelphia too all kind of make more sense for him.
You know, Philadelphia is interesting, except Joel Embiid. I think if Philadelphia, for instance, the Celtics win got Mitchell Robinson, right? It's like if Joel Embiid is not in Philly and it's Jaylen Brown and say a guy like Mitchell Robinson and VJ Edgecombe and Tyrese Maxey and the kid they just drafted, file on him and throw him in the mix, yeah. Grimes, I'd be like, you know, LeBron fits perfectly with that. But with Joel Embiid and that albatross of a contract,
mm-hmm.
Again, I'm like, what is LeBron going to play for peanuts?
Yeah.
What? I don't even know if it's possible. So I'd have to see how that happens, if there's like a sign and trade of a low amount of money and how they make that work. Like, I don't see that one. And it's hard to see Cleveland too, like how he fits into it. But when you say, oh, here are the reports, it's like financially, basketball wise, I could kind of see my own.
You know, it's like the financials and the second apron and salary cap just ruin all the fun in the NBA sometimes. We know it takes away some of the fun that we could have. Chris Miles, you brought the fun back even though you showed up late. It's fine. We're cool. You're still my friend. Good to talk to you, buddy. Thanks for coming on.
I'm like these kids these days. I committed and decommitted, and then I committed again.
I'll see you, buddy. I'll talk to you.
I will.
Oh, God. There he goes. Chris Miles, NBA TV. Covers the Spurs his entire season, too. Got to have a lot of fun watching Wemby, that's for sure. Nick Ashew on The Fan. Seen a lot of reports about Sixers players trying to recruit LeBron James. Nick Ashew on The Fan. I mean, look, like Chris Miles said, from a basketball standpoint, Cleveland doesn't make much sense. If LeBron was really trying to just win a title his last year in the league, I mean, you have a better shot at least getting through the East than the West, unless he's playing for the Thunder or Spurs. But
he doesn't fit on those teams anyway.
Right. Oh, I mean, there's no way that's happening. And that's like the ultimate title chaser where it's just so bad. Look, the only way that the story makes sense, that you put a bow on it, is going back to Cleveland. And that's that one final year, and it's this celebration of his career, and they're a good team, and they're a playoff team, and they got swept in the Eastern Conference Finals and all that. Money aside, you know, and what that looks like, because then there's, you know, again, lots of reports. LeBron might not take less money, take a little bit just to play, like, whatever. I mean, the guy, I'm never going to be the person, like, take less money. But, you know, if you really want to have your choices, you're not going to be able to get $50 million for your final season. But there's not really a team that makes sense for LeBron where you think he can actually win a title. I mean, I don't know what that would be. Golden State? Well, how? Who? Do you think they're beating the Thunder or the Spurs?
They're not winning the title anytime
soon. No! Not a chance. I mean, they'll probably be a pretty good team, but they're going to be an old team. I mean,
they've been barely getting into the play-in lately in the last few seasons. You know, it's like they're not that dominant team you think
right.
of.
Right. Like, that's the thing. They won 37 games last year. I mean, what is that going to be? Guys are going to miss time. They're old. Like, I don't know what that looks like. Okay, so we cross that off. Well, Philadelphia. I mean, from a talent perspective, and he'll play fewer minutes and probably not play back-to-backs and things like that, they've got talent
I would love
there.
To hear what Josh Harris has to say about it, honestly.
Right, right. Yeah, where is – let's get Josh Harris
let's just get him on the phone tonight, yeah.
Let's get him to tell us a little bit more about how he feels about this. Yeah, I mean, you know, if it's – and I don't know, it's probably like a mid-level exception or something. I don't know the salary cap off the top of my head for the Sixers. But, you know, we're talking something like that. If he's willing to take something small, then, yeah, you could probably fit in there. And the Sixers and Knicks are probably the two best teams in the East. I mean, who else in the East do you really look at and say that's a contender?
The Wizards.
Not the Celtics anymore. Yeah, 2 years. We need a couple years. Let's give it some time. Let's give it some time. But, again, like I mean, it's mostly teams that you look at as middle-of-the-pack teams. Really, the Celtics have taken a step back right now. I think they've had, besides the Jaylen Brown trade, which is just crazy to me, I think, you know, that's a team that's fourth in the East, maybe. But again, it's none of these teams you really feel that confident in. LeBron goes to what, Miami? That's a play-in team. It's probably just a play-in team. They gutted that roster.
I mean, they got Giannis, but
yeah, but like they again, they gutted that roster, and Giannis he misses time. It's just. To me, it's not about if you take out the idea, the narrative, the thought, the end that like LeBron is trying to win a title his last year. Like, yes, he's playing to win and doing all that. If it's just what's the best situation for him for his final season, it's why I just go back to Cleveland and you figure it out financially. Because everything else, there's no team besides the Thunder or the Spurs or the Knicks, and he doesn't fit on any one of them.
Well, here's the thing, too, I think you got to think about with LeBron. LeBron might want to get into the coaching or management side of like running the team.
I don't think he will.
I could see him at least trying it. I'm not saying he'd be great at it, but like I could see him trying to do that. Yeah, I mean, he basically runs teams when he's on them anyway. Like
I feel like he's just got so many other business ventures and things that's almost like
I could see him going to a team that he actually wants to be with long term, not necessarily on the court. You know what I'm saying? Like do the
I
kind
think
of Pete Rose
thing
where it's like you start playing there and you end up running the team. Like,
well, here's a scenario.
And hopefully not betting on the team. But.
Here's a scenario. LeBron buys into the new Vegas team that they're going to have in a couple of years, and then he pulls a Jordan and comes back and plays for a season at like 45. There it is. That's how you really wrap this thing up. And then he has a better season than Jordan did with the Wizards, and we can all use that in part of the argument.
He has to sign Bronny to him also.
Well, look, Bronny's probably going to get traded wherever LeBron is. Like, that's already been put out there. Because the Lakers have Bronny there because of LeBron. That's the only reason. So Bronny will just get traded wherever his dad is, and if it's Cleveland, it's whatever. Like, that's where it goes. But you know what I mean? Like, at this point, it can't be about, like, basketball sense. It's about story sense for LeBron James. That's really what it comes down to, is what is the final season look like? What is that story? What is the narrative? What is that final chapter of his legacy? Because this is the final season. He's not playing two more years. This is the last year. So it's really, what does that look like? Is it playing with the Warriors and Steph? All right, that's fun. But it just feels
I'm just
empty.
Saying, if they get, say he joins the Sixers, however they make the money work, whatever, stays healthy, they get to the finals and lose to, say, Wimby or Oklahoma City or something.
Yeah.
Do you think he retires having gone to the finals and lost? I don't know, man.
But, I mean, what's he going to do? Come back for another year then?
Peyton Manning
I don't
did.
Think he, I mean,
like,
yeah.
It's what they do. You I get guess. That close and then you don't win. Like, they come back. Like
I guess. But, I mean, we're up there. It's not. I mean, LeBron is – listen, LeBron's still got plenty left in the tank by, like, NBA standards, but not by LeBron standards, right? We saw what he did in the playoffs with the Lakers against the Rockets. I mean, he was incredible. But – he can't sustain that over an entire season. That was a short burst. That's why it's just like, it's none of it's really going to make sense except for Cleveland still to me. But again, that's from a story perspective.
I think the Sixers would be real interesting with LeBron on there, not taking the leadership role he usually does.
It just feels so bandwagon, though. It just there's no connection there, and it just feels like just jumping on a random team one last year. And again, like I, If he does, okay, like, who cares? Like, it's not, you know what I mean? Like, really, if he wants to play for a team that just has a bunch of talent and it's one last ride, I mean, but does he want that, or does he want, like, the LeBron worship everywhere he goes? He's going to get that playing for the Cavs. He's not going to get that playing for the Sixers. They got title aspirations. The Cavs, it's more of, like, they're not going to have championship aspirations. I know they just signed Donovan Mitchell to an extension. They're going to pay, you know, James Harden will still be there. Like, and that team made the Eastern Conference Finals. But realistically, the Sixers have higher expectations than the Cavs do at this point. The Cavs are probably maxed out. And it will be, LeBron will be the distraction from that team not getting to the NBA Finals. But the Sixers, it's kind of like LeBron goes there but fall in line because we're trying to win a title. Like, it just feels different. And maybe I'm reading too much into that, but it's just, I mean, you kind of just look at the situation and think.
What happens if he joins the Sixers, he gets a real bad injury, takes him out for the rest of the season, but he rides the bench the rest of the time, watching, basically coaching the team from the
there
bench.
There you go. Player coach.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think he's going to play he's going to play like 50 games probably. He's going to sit out a lot of games, I would think. Although he'll try to push through probably some if he sees it as his last year. Because, you know, there's the video tributes that he's going to constantly get everywhere he goes. Yeah, it's just none of it really makes sense because he's gone so much longer than anybody else. You know, it's just this career that won't. He played for the Lakers for 8 years. Think about that. LeBron played for the Lakers for 8 years. That's usually, like, when he went there, that's kind of like the 2 or 3 year stretch most guys go. You have that late season, just play for one more team. It's kind of a random team. And some guys have more success than others, you know, like, Joe Montana playing for the Chiefs, making an AFC championship game. Had a little more success than, like, Willie Mays with the Mets. Or, and these are just the first that pop in my head. There's, you know, Jerry Rice with the Raiders was actually pretty good. And then it kind of dwindled towards the end. So, like, most of these Hall of Famers, a lot of them have the random team that they play for at the end of their career. Some, like Shaq, it's just you turn into, like, a journeyman. But I don't know. There's just nothing that really makes sense beyond Cleveland in terms of storyline. And that's really what it should be about for him. Because if you want to win a championship, you go play for the Spurs or Thunder. Because I don't think, the Knicks aren't winning a championship again next year. That was their one ride, and they made it happen. The Spurs and Thunder are going to be better next year and more experience in the playoffs, and it's going to be those two teams competing for championships. So, we'll see. I'll tell you what, they got to come up with a decision at some point soon here, but he doesn't have to. It'd be nice, but it could just drag this thing out. Nick Cashew on the Fan. Waiting. No LeBron news. 3-0, American League over the NL in the fourth. Got two outs there. I almost said 3-0. I'm not going to lie to you. I've been in World Cup mode for a while.
At least you didn't say love from the Wimbledon.
I could have done that too. I can't sit and watch tennis. It's not even a knock on tennis. It's just like I just can't sit and watch a whole tennis match. I don't think I've ever really done that before. I've watched like late in a match where it's something really crazy, but that's about it. I got to be honest. Do you watch tennis, Metal Chris?
Not a ton.
But a little bit?
A little bit, but not. It's just, I don't know. It's okay. It's not my favorite. But
yeah,
okay.
I just, you know, and don't get me
like it
again,
more than golf.
Golf, I'll watch majors.
Yeah,
I mean, the
I
Masters.
I can't watch golf.
Yeah,
golf just putting me to sleep, man.
Yeah. Hey, listen, a Sunday nap with golf on TV, it's not bad.
Yeah.
Not bad. Yeah, it's just certain sports I just can't. I don't know. Tennis has just never really done it for me. Stephon Diggs hadn't signed with anybody either. You know, it's funny, like, him talking about being, I like the confidence. He's always had the confidence. But, like, when you think about, like, no wide receiver two is better than him. Well, there's George Pickens. There's Davante Adams. There's T. Higgins. Like, let's start with that. So, no, I'd say he's probably wrong. But I appreciate the confidence. Kind of feel like, too, at this point, I mean, look, first off, I'm out on Brandon Ayuk. I'm out. Out, and I have been in, but I was out before. And this is what I say. Like, listen, there's a certain point where we get new information, and we decide that our opinions are going to change. I'm that way. Anybody can be that way. If you find out something new, you get new, you go, oh, wait, this is actually not what it was supposed to be. Brandon Ayuk now has just burned all the bridges in the world. I mean, now this point where I know he's been quiet, I guess. Has he posted anything in the last hour? I haven't seen anything. Guess not.
You're going to make me look. I don't want to know.
I don't think he has, because I'd get a bunch of push notifications and texts about it, and it would be a thing. I don't think he has. But, you know, once you start going after Jaden Daniels and getting butt hurt, I mean, it was because the 49ers fans were saying that to him, you know, F Brandon Ayuk at the World Cup game that Jaden Daniels was at and everything, and it's just, That was the one bridge, man. It really, there was a narrative there for a while that Brandon Ayuk maybe was a little bit of a victim. Maybe. He was starting to build that narrative. Now, there were a lot of people who didn't feel that way. I get it. And it's all, of course it was going to be that way. But there were a few. There was a groundswell that was starting of like, you know, it does sound a little bit weird what was going on with the 49ers. And there was always the question about the money, right? Why did he give up the bonus? Why did he do this? And everything was just about kind of telling his story with the 49ers. You may not like the way that he did it, but he was doing it in a way that you kind of go, eh, it's not the it's not terrible. And then it just went unhinged. And then he just kept going after Jaden Daniels. It was like, dude, that's your guy. That's supposed to be the guy that's got your back. It's supposed to be the guy you want to play with. And this whole idea that, you know, maybe it's just a bit and it's Jaden Daniels. In what world?
No, it's not a bit.
In what world, Metal Chris, is Jaden Daniels the guy to go along with a social media prank, essentially, with anybody, let alone Brandon Ayuk?
He talked about his mother. Come on, man. He's not,
thank you. Like, you don't do that. You just don't do that. And that's what we're looking at. Like, that he took gas and a blowtorch to the one bridge that he had that he was able to cross.
He's wearing a Commander's hat again today, though, on his post. So it's like,
wait, did he post more?
Yeah, like 12 hours ago or something.
Oh, I thought you meant like something else right now.
No, but still, just like, you made me look. So,
right.
Like,
sorry.
So what do we have? Yeah, but it's like, I don't know why just he thinks that he's coming here. I don't think anybody here wants him anymore.
Right. And that's, I mean, now you're at the point where you can't. Because you can't, if you're Jaden Daniels, you can't even, and what sucks is that he actually would fit this
He better
offense.
Start running for office if he wants to come to D.C. at this point.
Yeah, there's nothing. I don't know any team that would touch him now. I mean, maybe if he stays quiet for a year, he comes back. But then at that point, he's been out of football for what? That'll be 2.5 years. I mean, what's left? This guy burned his last bridge. And, you know, that, because it goes
he's
beyond.
He's
going
to come back once they start coming for that bonus, the signing bonus, because they're going to come after that. And he's probably spent some of that. And it's going to be like Mike Tyson getting back in the ring.
Right. But he's not going to make it back. That's the thing.
But he's going to at least try. I can guarantee you then.
I mean, what kind of contract is he going to get? Yeah. I don't know.
They're talking about trying to get $17 million from that signing bonus from him, you know, like out of $28 million signing dollar bonus.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know if they'll get that much or not, but like, man, they're not getting zero.
It's just a bad look all the way around. And it sucks because honestly, Brandon Ayuk would have really fit in this offense too. I mean, it was like his perfect fit. He really would have been, but oh well, that bridge is burned and maybe it's Stephon Diggs or it's the receivers the Commanders just have on the roster. Nick Ashew on the Fan. Nick Ashew on the Fan. Man, I'd love to see A.J. DeBonta playing more in Summer League. I'm watching on some of these highlights of some of these other kids. I get it. I know why the Wizards sat him and Will Riley and Trey Johnson, but it was
fun. I'm mad about it.
You're mad about it?
Yeah, he keeps getting better every game. Let him get better.
I know. I really wanted to see
it. He's going to have to play games to get better. Let him get better.
I mean, but Summer League's not like real NBA.
I know. This is like why you let him get better now.
Yeah. It's... Summer League's weird because, you know, I mean, one, obviously the competition's not the same that you're going to see in the NBA, but the rules are kind of different. They're trying this new free throw rule with its 1, 2, or 3 points.
Yeah.
Just whatever it is. I kind of like that. What do you think about that? Are you a fan of that?
I guess it's fine so far. I don't know. It's not a huge rule change, I don't think, so.
I mean, it's just interesting to think, like, you take a three, you get fouled, and you take one free throw worth 3 points. It almost... I don't know, it kind of makes more sense a little bit. It might deter teams from fouling because it's one to get three versus three shots.
Yeah, but you could take some really far out threes and call it a shooting foul then and get a free throw for three. Like,
that's true.
You know, you're taking a Steph Curry three back in the paint and like or back in the logo.
This is why you have to experiment in Summer League and see what works and what doesn't.
Those
like
guys
baseball.
Ain't taking Steph Curry threes, though.
Yeah, right. Well, it's like, you know, because then it's like minor league baseball when they try out things. Like, they tried the pitch clock first in the minors.
Yeah.
And they tried the, you know, I mean, there's all kinds of stuff that they've tried. So you experiment lower and you see if it works and you bring it up. I mean, it's kind of what the NBA is doing.
I get the concept. So far, I mean, I don't know. I haven't seen it impact a game.
Right.
Where you're like, oh, man, that really changed or what, you know. Because, like, think about, like, the old Hack-a-Shaq strategy, right? Like, where it's like... Shaq was so bad at free throws.
I hate it. Well, they still do it. They were doing it with Mitchell Robinson in the playoffs.
Sure.
Should have shot granny style.
Sure,
awful.
But like my point is like if if he's only taking one shot, he still has a higher percentage of making the 2 points then. You know what I'm saying?
I haven't
seen it impact a game where that would matter that much.
Right.
You know what I'm like?
No, I know what you mean. It's, again, like, here's the thing. It won't impact the game until it does, and then all of a sudden it's a huge deal, you know?
Yeah.
Then it's just like, it happens once. It's like when they first started talking about bringing replay into the NBA. So we're going way, way back. I remember years ago, the first thing that pops in my head, and there's plenty of plays, but it was like right before it had been like a whisper of like, maybe they should, and they never did. And there was, Baron Davis hit like a game-winning three, and they said it was after the buzzer, and it wasn't, and there was no way to go check it with replay, and it might have been a playoff game or it was a late season game. It mattered. I don't know, but it was Baron Davis when he was still with the Hornets, and I'll never forget this. And that was always used as one of the examples where it's like it was so glaring they had to do it. Same thing with the NFL. The NFL in replay, it was a lot of, oh, well, now we need to be able to check out pass interference, because you had the Saints and Rams game years ago, which was just, how do you miss the most obvious pass interference in the history of mankind? So you have to have something.
Well, pass interference used to be different too,
where you
were not allowed to hit the player out while he was in the air, and
yes,
now you can. So
yeah. Well, they changed the rules
every
year.
If he calls, even with the review, you'd be like, well, I don't know if he pushed him enough out to go out or not. Like,
they're changing the rules every year. I mean, that's really what it comes down to.
The one that drove me nuts in basketball is when they used to have the illegal defense for playing zone.
I hated
watching games,
defense.
And they would just like, it'd be like a tense moment, and they blow the whistle because like some guy gets picked out of position or something.
Oh man,
I
used to turn that off playing NBA Live because I couldn't stand illegal defense. Like, just it drove me nuts. Yeah, they finally added zone. So, I mean, the evolution of, like, a lot of leagues, that's why it's hard when we try to compare players from, like, totally different eras. The rules are different. I know people love to talk about hand-checking and Jordan's era and all that, but there's a lot of things. Like, you have a three-point line, Steph Curry would have worked in any league. Like, he's going to hit 30-foot shots that no one's going to stop. Sorry, it's just the case. You know, like, but there are so many changes with the rules and strategies and game plans and the way that games are played, where it's just almost impossible for us to really do it. You know, comparing like Wilt Chamberlain to bigs today. I mean, what are we doing? He averaged 50 points a game in a season. Nobody's going to do that today. All right. And yeah, I understand.
He didn't even win MVP that season.
I mean, it's just, Wilt Chamberlain to me just feels like a legend that never actually existed. Like, the stat lines that he'd put up, you're like, this isn't real. This can't be real. This is made up, right? This is a bit. It's a joke. It's never made any, like, I mean, the guy would put up like 50 and 30 in a game with 10 quadruple doubles, which is, it didn't make any sense.
I mean, he's just that much better than everyone.
Yeah, I mean, he was, but like, everybody's just gotten better now. The league has gotten better. But like, here's the thing too, if we talk about players playing in different eras versus now, are you dropped into today in the way the game is played, or do you come up with the same mindset and skill set but train for today's league? Like, if you were 7 feet in the 90s, you're going to play in the post. If you're a seven footer today, you're going to be able to, you have to shoot threes. You got to play like Wemby. You got to, you know, defend the perimeter. You got to do a lot of things. Like, it's just changed. So it's, how can we compare Patrick Ewing and say like, well, in today's NBA, or Hakeem Olajuwon in today's NBA, it's like, well, the game is different. The rules are different. The strategy
Hakeem's
is different.
Hakeem's footwork was legendary in any era, though. Like,
Hakeem Olajuwon is one of the most underrated players in NBA history. I mean, he was so incredible in the post. It is picture perfect. You want to look at a guy, if you want to be able to score in the post, that is who you want to emulate. The Dream Shake, and I mean, Hakeem was incredible. And I feel like we don't talk about enough of how great he really was. But yeah, man, it's just, there's different eras, and it just changes so much. New era for the Wizards, though. The AJ DeBonta era is the face of the franchise right now. May not be their leading scorer. That'll probably be Trae Young. I think it's probably going to be him. Great stuff, Metal Chris. As always, got in a little Metallica even today. I'm back tomorrow night. Same time, Nick Ashew on The Fan.